to Journeys on Revolution Radio on freedomslips.com and simulcast with wolfspiritradio.com. Join JP, your tour guide today, on this journey of discovery from the known to the unknown in search of enlightenment, knowledge, and truth. Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, wherever you are on this little bauble spinning through space. Spinning through dirty space, it seems. Fluffy space. Space with bits of rock in it. Space with lots of meteors in it. So, it's all very good. Thank you for listening. This is Journeys with JP. Today, we are going to be talking about alternative currency. We've spent years railing against the banks and complaining about them, so why not make your own? Tonight I'm going to be speaking with Gary Bate of Terra Trader, and that's not as in the war on terror, that is terror as in the planet Terra, our little blue-green bauble spinning through dirty space, as mentioned earlier. Thank you very much for coming. Thank you very much for joining me. Gary Bate, how are you today?
Yeah, pretty good, thanks, Jay. How are you?
I'm very good, albeit a little disoriented. My sleeping patterns are completely strange at the moment. How's yours?
Yeah, I think that's pretty much the case for most people these days, isn't it?
It does seem to be.
With the change in energies and all that?
Yes. I mean, we had three solar flares yesterday, and we've got another one today, and where was it? I just saw it. It just happened about 7 o'clock.
Okay.
You know, we used to get solar flares, there we go, 1926 to 1933. So, you know, that's about half an hour ago. And these also seem to be putting out particles that scientists can't actually identify yet. So I think they are the same particles that they're having issues with about the carbon decay. You know that it's a long story, nothing to do with what you're talking about. But basically, it's having an effect on our perception of time. I believe our perception of time, and which is of course what happens in our brains. So it's all very interesting.
Well, certainly I think time is speeding up, or the perception of it is that it's speeding up. What the actual cause is, I don't know. But I think the Earth is quickening and moving to a higher vibratory frequency. So. Yeah, I mean, whether the CMEs are having an effect and a cause on that, I don't really know.
Well, you know, the sun is the source of everything for us in the solar system. You know, it's a solar system. Our soul lives on the sun. You know, that's the, you know, and we had an eclipse the other day, which cuts off the energy of the sun for us momentarily. And so a lot of people have had some really, really difficult times because there's been a sense of abandonment, which is just a disconnection between us and the sun. And then it kind of all bursts back. And, of course, there's solar flares and all this stuff that's going on that is and it's going to have effects on our bodies and our minds. You know, no matter what, you know, even if the sun does weird things, you know, it's still going to still going to be day and night, that's unless the planet stops.
Yeah, sleeping patterns and tiredness and exhaustion, I think, you know, there's a lot of people experiencing these symptoms.
Indeed, and lots of people have been having, like, not being able to sleep, for like hours and hours and hours, and then like you get to four hours of sleep, and then boom. So this leads us into
challenging times we live in, I think.
Yes, because they've always said time is money, and we are going to be talking tonight about alternative money.
Mm-hmm.
But first of all, let's talk about Gary Bates.
Right.
What started you? You know, how did this all start for you? Were you a student? Were you working? What's the deal? What's Gary's story?
Yeah, well, it started a very long time ago, actually. I got involved in the financial services industry when I was 20. And I spent around 14, 15 years in that industry before retiring. At the time of retirement, I finished my career working for a firm of chartered accountants at a little place called Droitwich near Worcester. So I retired as a fully qualified financial advisor, and I helped to launch another business in Australia at the time, but that kind of didn't work out for me personally. And when I came back to the UK, then I developed an interest in alternative therapies and complementary therapies. So I went off in a completely different direction.
Alternative therapy?
Yeah.
What branch were you talking about?
Well, it all started when I had an injury as a result of doing some gym work, and I went to see an osteopath. In fact, I had to go for about a dozen sessions in the end, and I got chatting with this chappie, and he was actually doing his own courses for assistant osteopaths. So that's how it all started. I became an assistant osteopath. And then subsequent to that, I did further training in Thai massage and that kind of thing. So eventually I traded myself as a manual therapist.
All right.
Doing massage and manipulative therapy, that kind of thing.
Excellent. So that's this is like the shallow shores of the alternative health profession, really, isn't it? Chiropractic and osteopathy are they're almost mainstream these days. I mean, I had a bike crash in the 80s, and osteopathy was very, very unheard of then, and but I went to one and he cured me. So he got me, you know, straight up, standing straight from laying down. And that's happened several times in my life. So I completely align with osteopathy and the chiropractic and the more subtle aspects of that. And it gets subtler because you then start to learn about energy bodies and things like that, and the etheric body. But
that's right. You know, I mean, yeah. You have cranial osteopathy and various shoot-offs from that too. But prior to me going into the financial arena, I actually trained also to be a hypnotherapist. So I did some work, with a sort of mind therapies as well. So. I'd always got an interest in that area. In fact, as a youth, I was quite into bodybuilding, and I'd got a big interest in nutrition at the time as well. So by the time I was undergoing osteopathic training and training in manual therapy, I was kind of, you know, pulling it all together, really, from a sort of a holistic point of view. So looking at the person and the treatment as a whole, recognizing that, the various ailments that people have in their bodies, they're not just, you can't look at it just from a physical perspective, because there's attitudes involved and environmental factors, and just looking at the person as a whole, you know, from a healing perspective. So
yes, and this is taking us, we're now in the boat, because now you're talking about the etheric body, and when you get to the point of the talking about the etheric body and what the etheric body is, and then how that gets formed, and what lays behind that, what animates the etheric body, you yes. then start to talk about the spirit, And then you get to the point of discovering that it's all the other way around. It's not like just because I've got a body, I have a soul. It is, I am a soul manifesting a body.
Exactly. I'm in total agreement with that, you know, and that the physical embodiment, the vehicle that we wear, is a manifestation of the essence of that which we are, which is spirit in nature.
Absolutely.
That we're, you know, spirits in the material, as opposed to the other way around that you just described.
Yeah. And that completely flies against what is known as mainstream medicine and all these things, because we're just, as far as mainstream medicine is concerned, we're just a bunch of chemicals and bones and stuff just, you know, randomly hanging together just by chance, yeah, making us. Yeah, right. So anyway, so we get to this, and so we're now talking about energetics, because when you're talking about soul and spirit, that's energy.
Everything's energy, isn't it?
Yes, and everything is energy. And
money is energy.
Exactly, and that's where I'm going with it. Because everybody says time is money. Well, time is energy, and money is energy. So, yeah, there's an equation there. So let's go on to what it was that got you into learning about money and why money has, where did you start with it?
Where did I start with it? Well, because I'd had the 14-15 years experience in financial services as an IFA, an independent financial advisor, I had always had an interest in money and the financial world, the financial arena, and world affairs. But like I mentioned, I moved away from that for a period of time, around about 10 years, I think it was, and pursued the career in therapies, which was more enjoyable for me. Although I earned far less money, of course.
Of course.
But I think with the terror trader idea, it kind of pulled everything together. Because just prior setting up or even conceiving the idea of terror trader, I wasn't doing too much work at all. In fact, I was pretty much unemployed. Of course, we've gone through all the fiasco of 2008 and the banking fiasco, and I just got to thinking one night, you know, there must be a better way. There must be a better way for the people. And that's how it all come about. That's how it all started. And I woke up with the idea, and initially I dismissed it.
Let me just catch you there. That is a very interesting point that you say you woke up with the idea.
Yeah.
And then dismissed it. Right, that's really interesting, because that's often what people do. And that's the same with when they meet a person, you know, you get a first impression of somebody. And very often our eyes tell us to ignore that, you know, this woman looks really nice. How could she be harmful to me? You know, that sort of thing. And so very interesting that you picked up that was, you know, what we'd call an inspiration, but that you kind of let it go for a while. What brought you back to it?
Well, if I can just go back one step, what actually occurred is that I was just sitting there in my lounge the evening prior to the wake up, if you like, and just contemplating on the state of the world and the state of the economy and the state of the environment and just getting my head around it all and understanding who was responsible for it. And thinking, well, there must be a better way. There must be an alternative. And like I say, I woke up with the idea in the middle of the night, and I thought, well, that's interesting. But what about this? And what about that? And what about the other? And no, this work, Gary, so I just dismissed it and went back to sleep. But when I woke up in the morning, I'd actually got the answers to the questions that I'd posed to myself when I woke up in the night. And so I went, okay, so the contemplation kind of continued. And this went on for days, which sort of merged into weeks, where I go through this constant contemplation of this new idea that I'd conjured up from seemingly nowhere, but of course, you know, there's nothing new under the sun, really. And every day I would pretty much dismiss the concept as unworkable for X, Y, or Z reason. And then the following day I'd wake up with the answers, and I was getting told that this is the reason why it could work. And it's kind of evolved from there, you know, over a period of 12 months.
So really, I mean, what you're talking about is that you've received an impression, an inspiration, and now you have you're in the process of manifesting that. Although it doesn't seem to be coming from you, it is coming from deep within you.
Very much so, you know. And I appreciate that you might have quite a mix in your audience. So you know, how people interpret that, whether they say, well, it's coming from his spirit or his soul or his deeper self or it's God inspired, whatever.
You know, or if it just came from a dream, whatever
or from
it is,
a dream, yeah. You know, it's it doesn't really matter. But I kind of asked the question, posed the question. Well, there must be a better way, and it's really evolved from there. And I've been given the answers, I believe. And finally, it was launched just a few short weeks ago.
Okay, so Gary, is it possible you could step through the answers with me? Because I'm very interested in the conversation that you had with that. Because this is, I mean, the show is called Journeys with JP, developed from Journeys with Rebecca Jernigan. And this is what we're talking about. The journey is that day that you ask the question, you receive an answer for the first time. That's the start of the journey, because the journey is back to our soul. That's what the journey, that's really what journey means.
Yeah.
And the journey back to our soul involves also the soul expressing itself finally through our physical body. And our physical manifestation on Earth. You know, you can't do anything if you're a spirit hanging out somewhere. You have to have a remote-controlled vehicle, and that's what we call the skin suit or the human body.
Yeah, exactly. You have to bring it down through the flesh and experience it emotionally and express it in this environment. So absolutely at one with you on that.
What were the questions that you asked?
Yeah, okay, well...
Challenges that you said, obviously you came up with the first challenge, but who am I? One of those, the very basic, I don't feel that I'm the kind, I'm not your guy, kind of feeling.
Well, who am I or what am I is a question I asked many years ago, and as a result of that... I've written four books on self-development, which are available worldwide on Amazon, etc. But coming back to the basic question with regards to the terror trader, was the recognition from my financial background that the value of money in itself, is only valuable because of what you can buy with it. If you couldn't buy goods and services with money, the money itself wouldn't have any value. So the basic idea I had was, if you could substitute the money with some other means, some other mechanism, some other medium of exchange, which was acceptable to people, to exchange their goods and services for, then that in and of itself removes the reliance of the people on the banksters. So that was the basic idea. So I come up with this idea of creating a virtual currency as a medium of exchange to exchange goods and services, having it operate on a worldwide basis across international borders. But because it's such a, if you can imagine, over a couple of glasses of wine, it's such a potentially humongous idea, then all of the doubts and the reasons why not just come in, you know, in terms of how it would operate and how you get people involved and just all the nitty-gritty details stuff. But I was convinced the basic idea could work, and I was right, because it is working. So it was just then a matter of sorting out the detail and going through a process which probably took 3 or 4 months to work through all those questions and doubts that I had in my own head, and talk to other people as well, to convince myself that it could actually work. And then the next step, of course, was then designing the right vehicle to run it and developing the website. I hope I'm making some sense here tonight. Hello, are you still there? Hello? Hello? Have I lost you? Hello, Jay? Hello? Hello, Jay?
Yeah, hi, sorry about that.
What happened then? I was talking.
It's okay. Do keep talking. Got a slight emergency. I had a slight emergency to deal with down here. So
where were we up to?
Right.
I've been talking to myself for the last 10 minutes.
I'm listening as well, but I'm having to deal with something down here. So if you were looking at the essence of time translating into money, energy, becoming a, some form of trading, and you came with the idea that it's all about acceptance, and that is the big trick. In my experience, I've been working with alternative currency for years. Acceptance is the problem. Many people believe in money. It's a religion for some people. So would you like to talk a little bit about how you managed to persuade people that what you were going to do is going to be, how can I put this? Well, truly acceptable.
Acceptable.
I mean, for instance, over the years, the major things that I found are fuel and rent. Mm-hmm. Those are the big needs in our life. That's because there is a stranglehold on rent and there is a stranglehold on fuel. That's where the powers that be control us.
Yes.
And whether you're a private landlord or you're a landlord, or whether you own a fuel company or an oil company or something like that, you still have a stranglehold on people. And
yep.
That's what we're trying to work around, isn't it?
It is, and I think that coming back to your point on acceptance, firstly I had to convince myself, and that was all about my own understanding, that the value of money really is a perceived value. And, the value of actually a bank note is just a piece of paper, but it's like you say, it's the very fact that it's accepted as legal tender for, and you can go to the high street or go online and buy a product or a service with it. But it made me appreciate that any currency, particularly today, that now that currencies are not gold-backed, that any currency is purely down to the perceived value in the general public.
Absolutely.
And when people understand that they can go on TerraTrader today, they can join free of charge, they can introduce their friends and get Terra credits, and actually spend those Terra credits for goods and services, which they can do because people are doing it right now, then that means that the virtual currency, the Terra, has a value. It has its own intrinsic value. And it begs the question, why wouldn't any of those unemployed people in Scotland do exactly that? Why wouldn't they join free of charge and, introduce a few friends and spend their terras on real goods and services?
Well,
that's the whole point about Terra Trader, you see, because it's a great leveler. You cannot buy into it. You cannot buy the terror. You can only accrue terrors in the one way, which is by introducing friends or by selling a product or a service on the platform. So, and that's very close to my heart. I wanted to create something that was fair for all the people of the world, and I've actually achieved that. There is no bias built into Terra Trader in any way, shape, or form.
So you have two ways of earning, and those are both what we call credit based. You know, you put your hours in, and you trade with that. So that's you injecting energy serving your time with someone.
Yeah, I think I need to be clear here, and that is that in designing an international trading platform where people can join and offer their products and services, the challenge was always twofold, and that is firstly people have got to be motivated and encouraged to want to list their products and services on the platform, but secondly you've got to get the virtual currency on there as well. Or in the first place. The only way I found that I could do that in a fair way across the international borders and regardless of cult or wealth or gender and all of this other social strata was to make it a fair system that those people that take the effort and email their friends. They will get the Terra credits to be able to spend on the platform. So that's the basic mechanism of it. Of course, if you're already well healed and you're happy to sell your products on there, then you can gain in Terras by doing so and then spend them elsewhere amongst the other members. So it's a member-to-member trading program.
Okay, so...
Did I explain it?
All right, well, I want to go deep into this because, as I said, I've been working with alternative currencies since the early 90s with local LET systems. So I've got a bit of experience with these kind of things. Now, in order to get goods and services, for instance, a massage, you need to travel somewhere, don't you?
That's right.
And so in order for personal services like that to work on TerraTrader, you need to have locality.
Yes.
Propinquity. in order to work with goods, you have to have postal services or delivery services, courier services, etc. So how does that get built into a TerraTrader trade, for instance? So, for instance, I might have a series of, as I call them, my crystal devices, and I might be selling them on TerraTrader, for instance, I get 50 credits for one of my things. I'm still going to need to
buy a massage.
Yeah, but what I'm still going to need to post the items on, you know, using the postal service, using national currency.
Yes, and this is a great question, and a question that's posed to us all the time. And I think the way to answer the question is that, in essence, what we've developed with TerraTrader is a new consciousness. It's all about giving, which is, the fourth, fifth dimensional consciousness that we're all moving into in this so-called golden age. So the TerraTrader is all about the spirit of giving. In saying that, because the means of people varies quite dramatically, the way we've structured is that you can limit any cost to you. So, for instance, if you're selling your crystals on TerraTrader, you can limit the geographic area in which you deliver. So the buyer is the seller is responsible for the supply, dispatch and delivery of the goods. But you can limit your liability, if you like, by saying, well, I'm only going to deliver in Inverness. Or if you've got a larger item, you can tick the collection only box, and thereby you're saying to other members, well, you can buy this for 50 terras, but you've got to collect it. So that's generally how it works. Of course, you don't have that issue if you're providing service like massage or anything else. You just need to be clear when you list the product or the service. You need to be clear about any geographic limits in where you operate.
Yeah, no, because I've been working with locals, and a local trading system doesn't have too much of that problem because people can, you know, drive around and pick things up. But, you know, at the moment I don't have a car, so if I need to do some work for somebody, they have to also come and pick me up. Maybe they'll pay me less trades, you know, or something.
It's a great point, but the way we've structured the TerraTrader, when a member lists a product or a service, then they can work purely locally, or they can work, just in Europe or internationally, depending on, what. For instance, I bought a product like a herbal product recently on TerraTrader from a chap in Hong Kong. He was more than happy to post to the UK because he's got a business with several million pound turnover, and he's constantly posting to the UK. So it just varies from member to member.
That's right. Well, I mean, okay. So, you know, I'm really going to play a bit of devil's advocate here, because what then is the difference between TerraTrader and, say, eBay and PayPal?
Well, the eBay and the PayPal is obviously they're dealing with a person's usual currency. So to be able to buy on eBay, you've already got to have the money, haven't you?
You have PayPal credits.
Well, yeah, you can have PayPal credits, but they've got to have come from somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the cumulative costs of buying on eBay and PayPal, you've got a duplication, you've got the costs of eBay and also the costs of PayPal as well. Which is not the situation with the Terra Trader.
Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is that the process is very similar.
It's similar, but the purchases on eBay or indeed anywhere else is reliant on a person's station in life in terms of their wealth, disposable income. Whereas with the Terra Trader, it's completely ring fenced. So you can only spend the Terras that you've got, and you can only get those Terras by being a member of Terra Trader.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter what you come to Terra Trader with in terms of your net worth or your disposable income. It's completely irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can only buy the goods and services on there with Terras. And the only way you can get those Terras is by introducing friends or by selling products and services on there.
Yeah.
So it's actually a very different animal.
Mm-hmm. So let's have a look at...
Well, there's a benefit in that, if I may add there.
Yeah, go on.
To that. And that is that the Terra as a virtual currency is currently finding its own sort of balance, its own value. But it's actually very stable because it's not manipulated by any external influences, unlike, the dollar and sterling and the euros. So there's none of these outside influences and quantum easing and all of that kind of stuff that can affect the value of the Terra within Terra Trader.
Okay,
so
all right.
The value of the Terra is purely down to the members and trading activity within Terra Trader. And this is one of the reasons also, I'm sorry hang on in here, but this is also one of the reasons that when members join Terra Trader, even though they can accumulate Terra credits by introducing friends, for instance, I think I've introduced about 68 people now, so I've got 3,400 Terra credits. But in order to spend your Terras, you also have to participate as a seller. So you have to list something, a product or a service. And the reason for that is to make it fair for everyone. But there's another reason, and that is that it keeps the value of the currency stable. Because if you've got no members listing products and services, but you've got all these members, getting credits, then you just get a devaluation in the Terra value. And that works because in terms of listing a product or a service, then the minimum value of a listing is just one Terra, which currently works out about one US dollar, so it's not beyond the means of anybody. Even unemployed people can find something for a $1 value or £1 value.
Okay, so
it is a program for everyone, every adult. You have to be at least 16.
Okay, so I'm now going to draw on some of the experiences that I've had from using Let's and also administrating Let's because, as I mentioned just before the show, I've been involved in creating a database solution for Let's Systems, and it does all the things. It does the it prints checks. It allows you to type in the check, the trade between the two people.
Yeah.
It does the offers and wants listings, the classified listings, and also the individual statements that people get, as well as the open listing. People know how much each other's got in their balance. And that's the way that our system works. And one of the, you know, so we've been working this. This, you know, this has been working for the last 15 years now. So we've had a lot of experience. And one of the big problems...
And you've had a relative amount of success, I understand. Although
yeah, well...
I would have to say there's still a lot of people who haven't heard of us.
Yeah, well, I've got a little certificate here in my bedroom here, which it talks about... being the trader of the 1.5 millionth let. That means that we've traded between ourselves in this small community in Northern Scotland 1.5 million lets. And we're actually
I just love anything like that, alternative currencies.
Yes.
I heard recently that they've bought out the Bristol Pound as well. Have you heard about that one?
No.
Yeah, but I won't steal your thunder there.
Yeah, but I wanted to come to some of the experiences we have. And one of the experiences is when people leave the system.
Mm-hmm.
They are... first of all, can people be overdrawn in your system? And what happens?
No. No, because the buy page within TerraTrader, programming of it is very sophisticated. There's about a half a dozen reasons why a person cannot buy a product or a service. For instance, their account may have been temporarily deactivated.
Mm-hmm.
They may not have a current listing. They may not have sufficient terras, obviously, to buy the product that they're desiring. So the answer is that you cannot purchase over and above the your Terra balance. So it just doesn't function.
All right.
So if you've got 49 Terras and you're trying to buy something for 50 Terras, the sale won't go through.
Yeah.
So you can never be in a debit situation. There's no debt, there's no loans. We just don't deal with any of that.
Mm-hmm. So if you wanted to buy something, you would have to wait until somebody wanted to buy something from you first.
Or mm-hmm. you'd introduce a few of your friends down the pub,
mm-hmm.
and suddenly you've got 300 or 400 Terras to buy the product you want to buy.
All right. So it sounds like you get quite a healthy chunk when you introduce someone. Does it change? Does you get more and more?
No, it doesn't. Again, everything's level. It's 50 Terras a pop.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody gets the same. There's no multi-level marketing or anything of that nature going on here. It's just completely a level playing field. So, last week I think I introduced 4 people. I got a 200 Terra credits. Very nice.
Very good.
And it's the same for everyone.
Mm.
I'm no exception.
So,
it is actually far quicker to accumulate your Terras that way than selling your products or your services.
Mm.
Especially at the moment, because the Terra Trader is still in its infancy. So the choice of products and services on there at the moment is a little bit limited, but of course that's growing by the hour. So
tell me about give me a sample of what things currently are available on Terra Trader that people can join, bring their friends in, and then start spending their credits on.
Okay. Just working from memory, it's all your kind of stuff, actually, Jay. There's crystals, there's jewelry, there's ladies just listed a trouser press. I do a bit of counseling work, so that's on there. Exercise machines, various types of healing. There's a lady on the south coast that's offering a retreat where you can, you know, you can spend 80 terras and go and spend a long weekend with her and experience, you know, her vegetarian cooking. And it's really only limited by a person's imagination.
Yeah, of course. It's the other limit is the number of people who are involved. Will you have an upper limit? Will you limit a certain number of people per country or anything like that?
No, because I really am quite ambitious with this, and because I think I know that the fundamentals are correct. This can scale up big time very quickly. It works. It is working, and so it's just a scalability thing. And the structure of it and the online admins that I've got that work on a performance basis. It's designed to take big numbers. We've got two servers. One in the UK and one in a mountain range in another country. They're linked by a load balancer, so and we've got firewalls on each server. It's a very secure operation, and it's been designed not just as a small local outfit, but as a true global trading platform.
So let's talk about spread. What's your kind of would you say, like, of the five continents, you know, Europe and Russia and, you know, Asia and all that, what's your sort of general spread? Is it mainly European at the moment, or I know you've got there's Bonita there in South Africa, so what's the sort of global spread you've got?
Okay, it's UK, USA. I think we've got a couple of people in Israel, Australia, South Africa. They seem to be the main ones at this. Oh, Canada as well. Just bought a very nice product from a craftsman in Canada. So the main sort of industrial countries at the moment, but you know, it can operate equally as well in any country.
Yeah. Well, what you've got is what we call the Anglosphere. You know, mainly the English-speaking countries.
That's right.
So we need to expand that into the Hispanosphere and the Mandarinosphere, or you know, and I'm sure that there are places like Argentina that have been running alternative currencies since their economy collapsed a few years ago, and they really help to keep people alive. And going. So, that, you know, I have a real belief in alternative currency, because the bankers are here just, the only purpose of the bankers is here to screw us. You know,
absolutely.
It's basically to suck the energy out of our being from every single corner, you know, from earning money. You have to pay in order to go and get earn money, you have to, you know, travel, and that travel is exorbitant. In order to eat, you have to pay food tax and all of that stuff. You know, it just goes on. Every single point of our lives
is... The big question is, of course, is when have the people had enough? You know, when are the people who are actually going to, you know, demonstrate that they've had enough and they're going to choose the alternative?
Here's the thing. It's already happening. And the groups that they call Occupy Wall Street, that's gone all over the world, and people are rallying against the bankers. But because it's against the bankers, and the bankers own the printing presses and the media, then these stories are not shown. But you can see them. The revolution is not being televised, but it's happening right now.
Yeah.
It's all over YouTube, it's all over Facebook and places like that, where people are able to upload for their, you know, that from their own physical mobile phones. You know, it's brilliant. They gave us all these mobile phone technologies so that we can do this. It's fantastic. It's really turned it upside down. They thought they were going to track us with it, but now there is like millions of us. And
such interesting times we're living in.
Absolutely interesting times. These are the most interesting times ever, I think, in the last 13 or so thousand years at least.
Yeah. And I'm just a part of it, and so are you, and that's really, that was my only motive, was I just wanted to, play my hand, add my piece of the jigsaw puzzle, you know, and be part of the, well, it is kind of a game, isn't it? Be part of what's happening, and there's so much good stuff around the world that's coming to the surface and dampening down all of that old redundant stuff, you know.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's coming. Every day we're hearing more and more about paedophile scandals, and we're seeing more and more that it's encroaching on the powers that be as we know them, the Crown, the Bank of England. You know, these people, we're going to find out very soon that they're the center of this paedophile scandal. I know this already. I've been researching it for many years. People like David Icke have been talking about it for years, and everybody's going, they're not green lizards. But anyway, the essential part of it is that there's a corrupt system that has been lying to us so much that we even have believed that what they have is real. They've managed to convince everybody by coercion, by physical threat of violence. That's what's created our money system. So it's full of blood. They used to say the color of money was red because it's the color of our blood. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Gary.
No, I'm just saying nothing surprises me these days, and I think we have to be a little bit careful with the money thing, in the sense of because money in and of itself isn't an evil thing. It's the attitudes of the people that have been in control of the money supply that's the problem. And I just think that it's time now for the people to discover the alternatives, and place their focus there, because I do believe that the day will come where the existing secular power structure that we've got on this planet will be redundant.
Yeah, well, the world that we...
The sooner the better, because it really is a cesspool the kind of stuff that you've talking about.
Yeah.
Spoke about.
Oh, yeah. But it's coming up now, which is a great time, because we really need it now. We need to have the illusions destroyed that money is the real thing. Actually, what is the real thing is an hour of my time and an hour of your time. That's the realest thing. That is the only real thing.
Well, the interesting thing with the launch of my creation, the Terror Trader, the interesting thing for me is that the very fact that it's working completely proves that there is no need for the kind of monetary systems that we've got on the planet, because people will exchange goods and services in the way they are today on Terra Trader if only it can be rolled out.
Well,
this is just all going to take time, and we can only take one step at a time. So, but it's exciting, you know, because there's so many people coming out with new stuff and new creations, new inventions, and which are going to transform the landscape going into the future.
Mm.
And so, we're living in exciting times, really.
Well, very good luck to you. Because this
is
Terra Trader is, you know, it's not going to be the one. It's going to be one of the many solutions have to the banks. I could talk for hours. I have spoken for hours on our experience in the Let system, and some of the things that we discovered about the way people work together and all of these things, and how. How systems like this can fail, because I tell you, every just about There aren't many systems left running our software because our software is so transparent that if anything was off in the process of creating the system, it will eventually cause it to collapse. It's there is it's not like the Ten Commandments, but there are certain ways of working it that will cause it to collapse. And these ways of working it are the same things that the banksters have been doing. It's really interesting. People try to run it in the same way that the banksters do, and
it doesn't work.
And it doesn't work. So because it's debt, and you know about this, and exactly. So having a credit-based system is definitely the way to move forward.
And so, I hope it's very scrutiny on this. I really am.
So,
any questions from your listeners? I'll happily take them.
Well, nothing much has come up. If anybody's got any questions in the next couple of minutes, because we're coming right to the end of the hour. It was very, you know, it's been very, very
quick. That's gone quick, hasn't it?
Yes. Gary, tell people how to join the system, and how they can find you, and if they want to talk to you, or if they want to just jump in with both feet and start terror trading. How do they do that?
Yeah, well, it's of course they can just Google Terror Trader, which is TerrorTrada. The actual web homepage is terrortrader.net, and the join us button is right there on the homepage. You can't miss it. It's a two-step process. You basically give some basic information. Verify your email address and then set a trader name and a password.
Excellent. Gary, we're out of time. That's the ending credits. So thank you very much, Gary Bates.
Enjoy.
Good luck and enjoy. Bye bye.
Bye bye now.